right, welcome back. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Tom Cakert in about 15 minutes on Iowa. Right now, let's talk some baseball. It is, after all, another Cubs-Cards weekend, as we mentioned in the opening segment. St. Louis, downtown St. Louis, going to be a madhouse tomorrow night. Game 3, Stanley Cup nationwide will have 20,000-plus in the building. Busch will have 40,000. Thousand, I would think, somewhere around there. A lot of Chicago fans probably making their way down I-55 for that one. Brian Walton, thecardinalnation.com, he joins us. Cards coming off a nice win yesterday. Brian, good to talk to you. How are you?
Well, it was a nice win yesterday, but it has been what could be the worst May in team history.
That's crazy. You know, we talked about that a minute ago, and I think it was you that I saw that on your Twitter feed yesterday.
Unthinkable.
It is, Brian. So, what's up behind this? Is it pitching? Yeah, hitting?
Really crazy when you think about it, because on May 1st, the Cardinals beat Max Scherzer, future Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
They were 20-10. They were in first place. They had won 10 of 11 games.
Mm.
They were on a roll. They were like the top of the power ratings in MLB. Then they had that little series in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and got shut out in the first game, lost the second one in a close one, and got blown out in the third game. And then all of a sudden, they just went right down the tubes. And it's just been a complete failure. It's not like you can say, you point to one organ. It's like every organ mm-hmm. in the body has failed. The offense isn't scoring runs. The big guys that are paying the big money aren't driving in the runs. The starting pitchers aren't getting the job done. Even the relievers, which has been the strong part of the team, have been inconsistent. Since Carlos Martinez has come back, he hasn't pitched well at all. And their closer, Jordan Hicks, blew a game the other day.
Sunday.
And he's just rusty. He hasn't had any wins to try to save.
Well, he got a save yesterday, right? He closed the game in Philly. So just if my math is right, Brian, they're 7-18 in the month of May. Is that right?
They're 8-18 right now, and so if they lose, they'll be 8-19, a .296 winning percentage. And no Cardinals team since at least 1908 has finished May under a .300 win percentage.
Absolutely incredible.
Shocking
number.
Yeah.
Yes, and things have gone awry. Let's kind of dig into some of the reasons. You mentioned the bullpen hasn't been nearly as good. One of the guys that has struggled seemingly all year long has been Matt Carpenter. On the MVP train a year ago, he was right there in the conversation with Christian Yelich for the longest time. But he also had a slow start last year. It feels like maybe he is heating up. He had a pinch hit home run yesterday in the win against the Phillies. Are you seeing positive signs out of Carpenter? Is it just a week that he's played well and you're still seeing some of the issues that plagued him for the first 7 weeks of the year?
You know, manager Mike Schilt has shown a high level of confidence in his veterans. And, of course, the team showed a level of confidence. They gave Carpenter an extension this year when he was still over two years away almost from the end of his current contract. So they said, hey, Matt, you're our guy. You're our leadoff man. Every day you're going to lead, be the first guy in the batting order. Well, the guy bats, 200 for the first 2 months, so they finally take him out of the lineup, the leadoff spot in the lineup, and move him down. And they bring up Dexter Fowler, who had played exceptionally well in April, and as soon as they put Fowler in the leadoff spot, he stopped drawing walks, he stopped getting hits. So it's like the leadoff spot's radioactive or something for the Cardinals. But Matt Carpenter just hasn't been what he's been in the past. And one game, hey, that's a start. But they need Matt Carpenter, and they need Paul Goldschmidt. Paul Goldschmidt has been okay, but he's not been the MVP kind of player that we've seen for the past 6 years or so in Arizona.
Well, the way the pitching matchups are set up for this weekend in St. Louis, at least on paper, you would think, it's edge to the Cardinals. Yu Darvish, he's been better, but he's still not, the guy that they gave all that they thought they were getting when they gave all that money up against Mikolas, who's he's the opening day starter. Then it's Quintana versus Flaherty. I get Quintana's been good. Flaherty's been really good. And then Cole, who has been, Cole Hamill's been okay. His last two, not good. But Adam Wainwright, who's getting long at the tooth. I give the Cardinals the pitching matchups this weekend an edge in starting pitching.
Well, I'm not quite as optimistic as you, but let's go through them. And interestingly enough, Ken, Dakota Hudson, who's a rookie, started off very rough at the beginning of the season, got his sinker going pretty well, and they decided rather than have Hudson pitch on Friday tonight against the Cubs, they went ahead and had him move up a day, played, pitched the last game in Philly, and was really masterful yesterday. And Michaelis, who was an exceptional player last year, has been pretty average this year, to be honest with you. Not as bad as Darvish, so yeah, I get your point there. Flaherty has been one of the bright spots in the Cardinals lineup, and he's got a benefit over Quintana. And the Cardinals, even though the Cardinals have had trouble against left-handed pitching, generally over time they've hit Quintana okay. Adam Wainwright versus Hamels, I got to give the edge to Hamels. Wainwright is getting by on his trademark curveball and gut. His ERA is just right about 5. He's been getting by, he's been getting through, but you know, the days of Adam Wainwright being a dominating guy that you can count on to win every fifth day are over.
Last 5 starts for Wainwright is ERA over 6 now, 6.33. At a 1-3 record.
What's
in those
Cole Hamill
starts.
Because he hasn't been good either his last couple.
Yeah, didn't have a strikeout. What was that last time out?
I'm not sure.
Didn't have a strikeout in the game.
His season ERA is still at 4, which would put him better than 3/5 of the Cardinals staff.
Want to talk about that staff a little bit more with you as we're talking with Brian Welton, Cardinal Nation. Brian, you have Waka now back to the pen. I saw he went in the blowout, 2 days ago, and just trying to eat some innings up there. With Michael Waka, any hope at all that he can get things turned around for this season? And you mentioned Wainwright there. I know a lot of people are wondering, waiting for young Armin Reyes that finally looked to be coming back. And a lot of people thought it'd be in the bullpen. Are they targeting him to be one of those rotation spots just because of the issues that they've had in the rotation?
Yeah, good questions. Michael Waka is struggling, and you know he's just not what he used to be. And he's had a couple years of shoulder problems, but he just can't get the job done. And they moved him into relief, hoping that would help. Brought him in a relatively close game, and he just, you know, had a dreadful outing. I don't know. I honestly don't know what the next step should be for Michael Waka. I really don't. He needs some kind of a fresh start.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, they can't really trade him. He doesn't have any trade value. You know, and for a guy, you know, with his experience, he's not going to want to go to the minor leagues. But at this point, he's basically a mop-up guy. That's all they can do with him. Alex Reyes, I watched Alex Reyes pitch in extended spring training in Florida, and now he's been with Palm Beach. He's pitched 2 games now in high A, and he's done okay. They're going to move him up to Triple A, I hear, this weekend perhaps. The big issue with him is he broke a finger when he punched a wall, and he is cleared to wear a glove and field the ball, I guess, to save his life, but he hasn't been cleared to swing a bat yet, and so he has to play in games where there's a designated hitter until they allow him to, you know, swing, and obviously in the major leagues that's not going to be an option for him. So Alex Reyes is still probably a few weeks away, and as I mentioned, you know, Carlos Martinez, the other guy that they thought might be able to step into the rotation, has this mysterious issue with his shoulder where he feels like he can throw it for an inning or so, but he can't start anymore, and so the Cardinals are pretty, you know, hamstrung right now in terms of starting options, which is why they brought up a young player, Genesis Cabrera, a left-hander that started this last series in Philadelphia, 22 years old, less than 50 career innings above Double A, but they decided to throw him in the fire, and he did good, but not great. But he'll get another start probably in the Red Series.
I was watching the Sunday Night Baseball, Braves and the Cardinals last week in Memorial Day weekend, and they mentioned that Jordan Hicks had finally got his first save in the month of May. He hadn't got any opportunities, I don't think, in save situations. But then as soon as they got those words out of their mouth, you know, a chance to back-to-back saves for the ace closer of the Cardinals, and then he didn't get an out, as we know, and the Cards would fall in extra innings to the Bravos. So what was wrong with Hicks? Was that just too much because of the lack of use, maybe going to him on back-to-back days as you go back to last Sunday? Because man, he's still throwing the ball in triple digits.
Oh yeah, I mean, he looked fine yesterday. You got to say that was his first blown save of the year. He's 11 for 12. I just think it's lack of use. You know, the Cardinals just haven't had any close games where they needed their closer, and so they, you know, pitch him in situations where it doesn't make any sense or he doesn't pitch at all. And, you know, he had a great April when the team was going well. And I think what Hicks' lack of use shows is that the starting pitching has been so bad, they haven't been able to get to the late innings, in a position to win the games. And I think Jordan Hicks is going to be just fine, but they got to get the ball to him with a lead.
You know, Brian, this Cardinals-Cubs, always such a fun series for us here in the Midwest, and an extra layer being put upon it this year with the comments from Chris Bryant. I don't know what the dude's problem is with St. Louis. Maybe he doesn't like toasted ravioli. He hates St. Louis-style pizza. Whatever it is, but he called the city boring. The reception tonight, he'll be batting, I'm sure, in the top of the first inning. You'll get to hear it early on. Boo Bird's going to be raining down, I'm sure. Is there vitriol? Is there any buildup at all with Bryant making his first appearance this year in St. Louis?
There are some people whose noses are out of joint about it. I personally think it's pretty silly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was during their fan fest and some kind of skit, some kind of fun Q&A. You know, a pretty innocuous comment, but hey, you know, if that gives people an edge or a reason to come to the game and cheer or boo, hey, more power to them. I hope the Cardinals, you know, are focused on playing good baseball, and who cares what Bryant said. I'll tell you what, though, one thing that is interesting is both Bryant and Rizzo are among the top five hitters in MLB in the last month in OPS, both like right around 1,100. So, you know, hopefully the Cardinals pitchers will be focused on throwing strikes and getting these guys out, not whether they care if the city's boring or not.
Here's the good news, Brian Walton. As bad as May has been, they find themselves as they'll start to play against the first-place team in the division, only 4.5 games out.
That's right. You know, the good news is, like I said, you know, the Cubs have played well, and then they kind of fell back and got in a streak where they weren't playing very well. And the Central Division is anybody's right now. And Milwaukee, who we haven't talked about, is right there a half game behind the Cubs. And, you know, they're going to be there all year long. I think Pittsburgh will fall back. And I think the Cardinals are still a much better team than we saw this month. Probably not as good as we saw in the first month. But they're certainly better than a one game below 500 team. And, you know, what better time to start it than a big series at home against the Cubs?
Top to bottom, it's the best division in baseball for my money. Brian Walton, thecardinalnation.com. Brian, thank you. We'll catch up to you down the road. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Good to talk to you. Brian Walton, cardinalnation.com. I like the Cardinals this weekend in this series.
You do?
I do.
You like the matchups?
I do like the pitching matchups.
Do you like St. Louis-style pizza?
I don't know if I've ever had St. Louis. St. Louis-style ribs I've had.
Okay.
I've never been, is it the Hill with the Italian places?
Yep.
I've never been to the Hill.
Toasted ravioli, big fan of.
Are you?
That's their specialty.
Okay.
The pizza, it's all right.
So what?
It's very thin. It's like almost
I like that.
Crispy, kind of cracker-like. Mm,
got my attention now.
Yeah. And the cheese is different. It's a mixture. It's kind of a provolone mix. And they put slices of it across.
Yes.
A little bit different, okay. But they cut it into strips because of that thinness. You like thin. You have to have great toppings, though. A little more oregano, too. That's the other thing. You like oregano, then
yes,
it's right up here.
Yes, got to have it.
All right, so you're good. Next time you're in St. Louis, there you go. You're going to Chicago twice this year.
Twice in like a month.
Yeah, but no St. Louis trips planned?
I don't think so. Not at this particular
I haven't
junction.
Been there in a while either.
Since the Valley Tour, I don't even remember which one it was. Anyways, we will come back. Tom Caker's going to join the program next. Jimmy B is about 35 minutes away. We're going to talk to Jimmy B. We'll do the NBA with Jimmy B. And then about an hour from now, we'll be asking you to get your place in line for the Claxons BBQ giveaway. You know, we were talking about this last week, Trent Condon, regarding Claxons. I don't know how many weeks we've been here. We're in June, so we're about 5 weeks, so about 20 weeks.
Yeah,
somewhere
like
around
that.
There. And grateful to be here. We have done Claxons 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
That means we've had 80 contestants. 80.
80.
8-0. Of those 8-0 contestants, we have not had one female.
That's right.
We have not had one woman in here. Should we maybe have this discussion off the air?
No, as always, our production meetings happen here.
We can't rig the thing, but
right.
Boy, we'd sure like to get a lady involved in this thing.
You don't have to know sports that well either.
It's look at the guys that call in and think they know sports. They get 1 out of 3.
2 and 2 has won before. 1 and 3 has won the tiebreaker to get second before.
And that's $25 worth of barbecue at Claxons. And it is delicious BBQ.
They've
been in business for over 20 years. If you're a restaurant in business for over 20 years, you must be doing something right. As many of them come and go. We will continue on here with Tom Cakert. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
Oh. 24-hour sports anywhere in the world on iHeartRadio. This is 1460 KXNO.
Hi, welcome back. Miller and Condon about a half hour away from Jimmy B joining the program. Claxons an hour from now. Tom Cakert right now, HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, Trent, and Ken, how are you, Tom Cakert?
I'm doing just great.
Good. So are we. We've got a lot of blanks filled in as far as kick times yesterday. I love when these things start to trickle out. It's it makes it a little bit more easy to see the light at the end of the tunnel in some ways. But I want to start basketball with you. And the kid that's his last name is Beverly. As you well know, he was at Valpo. We played at Valpo. Numbers were down in his junior year. I think it was, 8-3, 8.7, or 3 rebounds, somewhere around there. They need bodies. I get that, Tom. Is this a kid that gets the fan base excited? It's going to be Iowa, I guess, or New Mexico State. Kind of feels like they're settling a little bit, or no?
Maybe a little bit, but I think just given what's out there, he'd be a pretty good get. It was the kid's name is Bakari Evelyn.
Evelyn, thank you.
Yeah, and he started out at Nebraska. Iowa had recruited him when he was out of high school, and then transferred to Valpo. Had a pretty good junior year, and then had some ankle issues last year that limited him a little bit. His 3-point shooting was down by about 8%, and his scoring was down, rebounds were down a little bit. I just think they needed another body more than anything else, and it's kind of one of those low risk, high reward things where you need another player with the questions about Jordan Bohannon's health going into next year. So you take what you can get and, hope he works out well. And if he does, then great. It was a great thing. And if not, at least you're not on the hook for him for 2 or 3 more years.
Fair point.
And you can move on and recruit another player that can help you in 2020.
Tom, you've intonated that this is, for all intents and purposes, a dud deal. He'll come on campus, and unless something goes awry, he'll be a Hawkeye. That's how you see it?
Yeah, that's how I see it. It just seems to be pointing that direction, that unless something, on the visit happens, or they just don't get a good vibe about him. But they already know him. They've recruited him in the past. They took a look at him when he transferred from Nebraska. They've got some history, so they know the kid. And Fran always says the big thing with the grad transfer kids is most of them just want to come in and have an opportunity to play. And if they don't get that, then it can become a little bit of a distraction, and that's what he likes to avoid. So I think this kid knows, kind of where things are with Iowa, and then he can come in and potentially earn some minutes.
Is there any other grad transfer names that are out there? Would this be it if they do get him? They would shut it down after this? Are they still looking?
Oh, I think you always have to be looking. Because there's going to be new names that pop up, and they will still have a scholarship available. So, but you just don't take somebody to take somebody. Mm-hmm. But there's always, it just seems like this thing is never ending. I mean, what are we up to? About 800 kids that transferred this year, either grad transfer or regular transfer. And kids just, they leave. And then you've got a spot, and if you like the kid, you have a history with them, you know them a little bit. Or get to know them, and it's interesting. I think always have to keep your an open mind to taking another kid if you've got a spot available.
Tom Kankert, HawkeyeReport.com is our guest. Tom, when the 7 kickoff times that we know of were announced yesterday, the one that seemingly jumped off the page or resonated maybe the loudest with the majority of Hawk fans, I would think, and people in the media, was the Nebraska game, the Black Friday game. It'll be the final edition for a couple of years, being on Black Friday. They're still going to play, of course, but not on the day after Thanksgiving until when, Trent? 2022, I think it comes back, if memory serves. But the Big Ten Network's got it, and they've got to be ecstatic because, it's the Big Ten West, I think you would agree with Trent and I and everybody, it's a complete crapshoot. But it's not without the realm of possibility that Nebraska and Iowa could be playing for an opportunity to play in Indianapolis the following week.
Yeah, I was... that was the one that jumped out at me. Is just the not really the 1:30 kick. I mean, it just doesn't matter. It's a Friday, so it's just whenever. But the Big Ten Network got it. I thought was really interesting to me because that's traditionally been, Fox game or an ABC game or something like that, because they're looking to fill their inventory for that day. And it's usually an attractive game. It's funny because just before we came on air, I was talking to our one of the guys from our Nebraska site, because they're doing kind of spring review, preview kind of things with each Big Ten team. And they asked me about that game. And I said, given the hodgepodge nature of the West this year, yeah, where any literally five teams could win the division, I think, this could be the year where this one decides Indy. And it's just, and you know that Nebraska is just dying to beat Iowa at this point, because Iowa's kind of owned them in the last four or five years. So this is going to be where Nebraska at home gives Iowa their best shot. And, you know, Iowa doesn't want to give up that crown of holding, you know, beat Nebraska on a regular basis. So I think this is going to be a great game.
Tom, on your message board the other day, I saw a rumor, and this is still just a rumor, and when it comes to somebody with the screen name Party Hawk 420, you can't exactly take it as gospel, but a lot of rumblings going on. Former Iowa City West wide receiver, four-star wideout Oliver Martin, and Iowa maybe being connected, possibly in the transfer portal, and looking to come back home. Have you heard anything at all, Tom?
Yeah, I've heard a lot, but this is like, I think, the third time that Oliver Martin's been coming home.
Right, so,
It's like an annual thing when, you know, Oliver maybe takes a break from school and he's back home for a couple of weeks and the rumor kicks up. Now, it was running pretty strong, and the sourcing on this was beyond Party Hawk 420.
Okay, good.
They seem to think that maybe something was really going on, but now we've just kind of been told maybe not. And my initial reaction to it when I heard it was, I'll believe it when I see him in the portal.
Mm.
That's when I'll believe it, because I've seen this every year where, you know, the rumor surfaces. I don't know that Oliver's really starting the rumor. It just starts up. It kicks up, and nothing's happened in the past when it's kicked up. And you've had people that were convinced, oh, no, he's leaving. He's coming home. He's going to go to Iowa. You know, there was a rumor earlier this year around December that he was going to give up football and go play baseball at Iowa. Until I see him in the portal, I'm not going to believe anything.
Hmm. And he would be a sit-out guy to play with 2 years left, Tom?
Well, unless he claims that they changed the offensive coordinator and it wasn't a good fit for him and they decided to leave, and then they're handing out waivers like
they are.
If he had a Halloween parade. So you never know.
That waiver process gets more and more interesting. I mean, are we just getting to basically full-blown free agency?
They should.
Yeah. I talked to Kirk about that about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and at one of the iClub things, and he goes, we're basically in free agency now. Mm-hmm. It just is. And because I think that the one that always jumps out at me that happened this year was the Tate Martell thing. The only reason he left is because he wasn't going to be the starter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yep.
That's it. And they gave him a waiver to go play this year at Miami. And I think the NCAA is just going to hand him out because they're afraid of legal action that will just basically end the 1 year sit out thing, because it won't stand. It just won't. And once that legal challenge comes down, that's what's going to happen. So I think we're just in the era of free agency now. If kids really want to pursue it and they get the right lawyer, there's that lawyer in Kansas City that handles all these, and he's like undefeated and gets a waiver every time.
Not too bad. That's the guy to hire, no doubt about it. Hey, finishing up for me with a little more basketball, back to that. I know you've been out and about here the last few weeks watching a lot of the AAU tournaments. You've had an opportunity to talk to Xavier Foster, and something that I believe you said on your podcast is the Blue Bloods that we heard Duke was sniffing around for a while, Carolina, Kentucky. Maybe those guys are pulling back. Did I hear that right?
Yeah. They've kind of pulled back a little bit on Foster, and that was what he said. I said, are you hearing from those guys anymore? And he said, no, not really. Not hearing anything from him. He said, Kansas, occasional text message, you know, every few weeks, but nothing really big there. So he said Iowa, Iowa State, Baylor, USC were kind of the four that have been hitting him the hardest, and Texas A&M's getting in on him. So, you know, maybe good news for Iowa and Iowa State fans that they have the potential to a five-star kid in state in 2020.
Last thing for you, Tom, staying with basketball but moving around the Big Ten, Juwan Howard's press conference yesterday. I mean, he broke down tears of joy, I think is how he described it. I saw it. It was good. It was a good watch. It really was. This guy clearly wants to be, he's back at home now. He's back in his school. And I expect him to do a good job. Maybe we'll see. I think they got the right guy, Tom. How about you?
Yeah.
And I wasn't sold to be. I wasn't all in. From the get go. Just to let you know.
He's got giant shoes to fill with John Beilein, though, and that's going to be tough. But if LeBron James Jr. Ends up playing in college, maybe it'll be at Michigan. So
makes some sense.
That will be interesting and. Probably get Dwayne Wade's kid, too, based on the tweets that both those guys have sent.
A two for one. Tom, we're out of time. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Tom Kakert.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Hour two coming up next, 1460.
KXNO Des Moines. This is an X's and O's update on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
And I'm Trent Condon. The start time for the Cy-Hawk game coming up in September has been announced. 3 o'clock kickoff on Fox Sports 1. 7 of Iowa's 12 matchups have been announced with start times, including the home opener against Miami of Ohio, a night game, 6:30 kickoff on August 31st. Last night, game 1 of the NBA Finals. And to no one's surprise, the coming out party for Pascal Siakam.
Siakam flips it up and banks it home. He's got 30.
The call from Mike Breen, ESPN, ABC. Siakam finishes with 32 points, a 118-109 win for the Raptors. Game 2, Sunday night. To MLB from yesterday, the Cardinals get a solid performance on the mound from Dakota Hudson, and Matt Carpenter continues to heat up.
And Carpenter lifts it in the air. Out to deep left, it's another home run for St. Louis.
The call from Fox Sports Midwest, the Cardinals, a 5-3 winner. Milwaukee was in Pittsburgh, and they brought the bats.
Here's Moustakas again, a high fly ball to right. Polanco at the wall, and there she goes. Another one is out of here for Moustakas.
Brian Anderson on the call, Fox Sports Wisconsin, as the Brewers run past for the 11-5 win. The Royals were in Texas to face the Rangers, and Jorge Soler again goes deep.
And he cracks this one high and deep, and it is hitting the foul pole, a home run.
Fox Sports Kansas City on the call, home run number 14 of the year. For Soler. In Chicago, the White Sox get their fourth win in a row, powered by Jose Abreu.
In the air left field. Allen back at the warning track. It is gone!
Jason Benetti with the call on NBC Sports Chicago. Home run number 15 of the season for Abreu. And tonight on KXNO, it's Cardinals-Cubs 7:15 with the first pitch from St. Louis.
Live from the Wild Rose Casino and Resort Jefferson Studios. You'd rather be here. This is 1460 KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody, and happy Friday to you. Welcome in. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, with you until noon. Glad you're with us. Hope you can stay with us. You'll want to if you love barbecue. We've got the Claxons Barbecue giveaway on a Friday. That'll come your way at about 11:45. Coming up on the program today, guest-wise, we'll talk to Brian Walton, thecardinalnation.com. It is, as Trent mentioned in the update, Cubs Cards this weekend. KXNO's got the series, the weekend series here. The Cardinals coming off a win over the Phillies, the Cubs. They get into town after taking the finale of that win over Houston on Wednesday. Cubs Cards this weekend. Brian Walton at 10:25. Tom Kakert's going to join us. We'll talk Hawks with Tom Kakert as all of the, a good majority of them. What is it, 7 kickoff times now known?
7 of the 12 already in the books, and I think we can at least have pretty good educated guess. Yes, of the rest of the other 5. But yeah, we know over half the schedule at this point.
Trent, you know what? I was thinking this coming in today. If I'm a Cyclone fan or a fan of a team in the Big 12, I've got major kickoff time envy. I mean, come on, right? There's the SEC.
Yes.
The Big 10, the Pac-12, Did the ACC come out with the... Well, regardless, I know the Big 12 didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have a crossover game with one of those conferences, even Conference USA is out a lot of them. When is Big 12 going to get on the ball here? I mean, give the fan base a little something to... You know, get excited about it. It's, you know, tomorrow's June, for crying out loud.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, save it till June. Don't put them all together. Stretch this thing out. Give us more to talk about.
Well, you're not a Big 12 fan. If you, I mean,
yeah, they'll be fine. Yeah, they'll know when the games are. It's not they're going to announce a couple days before.
No, I get that. Well, you're right. I mean, they could do 6 days. That's 6 day window. But I'm just found it odd that, you know, all of these schools, all of these conferences, all of this buzz. I mean, we talked how much about the Hawkeye kickoffs times yesterday, and rightly so, right? It's a topic
right
on May the 30th.
But if it would have been there, it would have been one topic with both teams. Now, it'll be announced next week or the week after. Well,
I guess I could see it. Just your point on that.
Make your own. You know, don't fall in line with the SEC and the Big Ten and everybody else. Create your own. I'm fine.
Yeah, but
it.
I'd be salivating if I just want to know something. Give me a nugget. We'll get that next week.
Yeah.
We will. Good, fair point. We will talk to Tom Kakert on Iowa Sports coming up here at about 10:45. And then our buddy, yes, indeed, he's back, folks, 11:15. Jimmy B, 11:15, 11:20, going to join us, and we will talk NBA, and we'll catch up with a guy that we both worked with at one point in our career, Jimmy B Radio. You can follow him on Twitter. We'll talk NBA with him and other stuff with Jimmy B before we get to the Klaxons giveaway. Well, Trent, it was quite a night in the NBA last night. It really started. It's funny. I got three text messages, bing, bang, boom. I know you taped the game because you had high school baseball duties last night.
Yep.
You had Southeast Polk and
Des Moines East.
Des Moines East, right. And the game got out of hand late a little bit.
It did. 4-2 game in the fifth, and then the bats really heated up for Southeast Polk. Mm-hmm. They won it 12-2.
Good team. Did you watch, two teams could have a say in this thing? I mean, clearly Southeast Polk, right?
Yeah, and, you know, Bryce Crabb was the starter for Des Moines East. He was their ace last year as a junior. Just got off to a rough start, gave up 4 runs in the first inning. But a young kid, a sophomore that had just pitched 2 times his freshman year for East, he came in and really shut down Southeast Polk.
What's his name?
Jefferson. James Jefferson, I believe it is. Jefferson's the last name, though. He was really good on the mound. So
good.
I think East is going to be there in the Metro. It'll be them, Roosevelt. I think Lincoln will be decent there. Southeast Polk, as always. They got off to a little bit of a slow start. They were 1-3 going in. You know they're going to be there come late July playing good baseball, as they seemingly always are. And tons of good baseball around here. Every single year, the CIML, the depth of this conference, it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I know it's a passion of yours, Trent. I applaud you for doing it. I really do. And I'm glad we got Jefferson on the radio here today, mm-hmm. the young man, the sophomore from East. Well, as I started to say, it was a spectacular night. It really was. The game was outstanding, I thought. For a game, have we seen better NBA games? Okay, I'll give you that. But the Canadian anthem was just tremendous. Did you tape that portion of the broadcast?
I wasn't pausing for the Canadian anthem.
No, but you know what? And a lot of people... I mean, like I said, I got bing, bang, boom, 3 text messages about my anthem. And I forget how spectacular it is, you know?
It's a great song.
It is really good. And a group called The Tenors did it. And it's really was really well done. Really well done. You know, they've changed a word in the... Have I told you this before?
They've changed a word
Canada? Yes, in the last, I don't know how long it's been. Maybe, certainly since I've been gone. Maybe 10 years. There one of the lines in it was...
Well, sing it for us.
No, I can't. I'm not sure I can, sadly. I think I probably could, but I'm not sure I want to, and I'm sure our audience doesn't want me to.
I was trying to
corner you there. We stand on guard in all our sons' command used to be the... Okay. We stand on guard in all our sons' command. Now, sons didn't go over well.
Okay.
Now it's all of us' command.
A little choppy.
No, but it is choppy, but you know what's the right call?
Yeah.
I understand why they changed it. It's the right call. And all of us command. Right? The women don't command.
Right.
They don't care about our country. Of course they do.
Yes.
Anyways, but it was good. But the game was outstanding. And you know what? If you're a Raptors fan here today, you're ecstatic that you're... Who am I kidding if you're a Raptors fan here today? But if you're... following the series and you don't want to see Golden State win.
And there's plenty of those people.
There are plenty of those people that aren't necessarily Raptors fans. Mm-hmm. The Nick Nurse story bringing some Iowans in, maybe.
Yes,
I would think so for sure. Kawhi Leonard was 5 of 14 last night.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raptors are up 1-0.
That, if you would have said that before last night,
no shot in hell.
Not going to happen. They need him to be great. and they need a player or two to step up. Nobody saw Pascal Siakam going off 32.
No, not 32, but he's had his moments his playoffs. But you're right. I mean, here's a guy. There's two guys that had big nights last night. Siakam, who went to training camp without a starting spot guaranteed. Fred VanVleet went to training camp and had to scrap and claw for the 15th spot on the 15-man roster. And look at the impact that he has had, not just last night, but certainly in the Eastern Conference Final. And then last night, he was outstanding. Boy, good God, VanVleet. We saw at Wichita State, thought he was good.
Mm-hmm. Not this level.
Not this level. Good.
Not for a team in the NBA finals.
Right.
Maybe he could carve out a role. He can find a niche with the team, that playoff team, and it can be a backup, something like that. But this, I mean, he has carried them a couple of different times and been that bench scorer.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to mention the guy that you were absolutely killing
Danny
yesterday.
Green. Well, you look what it was fair, I think, to criticize him.
They had made a shot in three games.
Yeah. It's true. So, yeah. But you know what? It's not like he tore it up last night, but he had a couple of huge baskets. One early, but particularly late. Mm-hmm. When Golden State's hanging around, it's 5, it's 7, something like that. He hit a contested 3 from the corner, which is his spot. When he made that shot, I thought, you know what? It's game. Game. Call it. Game over.
You know, with Durant being out and the narrative that was forming, well, this Golden State team, maybe they are better. I think you saw a couple of different moments. One that sticks out with me late in the game in the fourth quarter, get an open shot for Quinn Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Chance to maybe cut it to 3?
Probably. Yeah, could have been.
I think it was 6 at the time. Yeah, I think that's what it was. They miss it.
Yeah.
Because it's Quinn Cook.
No guarantee that KD makes it, but who do you want to take it?
Right. And KD wouldn't have been that open either, but still.
Doesn't matter with him.
Those parts aren't playing as much. You're not seeing Quinn Cook, but he played 9 minutes last night. Yeah, Looney playing 28.
Looney was pretty good, actually.
He was, but those guys aren't playing the same amount of minutes that you see there. The other thing that stood out to me late in the game, Iguodala, well, as he was shoved out of bounds.
Yeah.
That's a rebound on that
Boy,
one.
Boy, it's physical, isn't it?
But he's banged up.
Yeah.
And this has been, it's one thing if everybody else was
healthy. Did you see him at
healthy.
The end of the game limping off the floor?
Yeah.
He's in deep water, I think.
No doubt. And now suddenly it is, they need him back because I still think this team would have been fine without Durant if everybody else is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is fine. All right, rusty in game one, come up with whatever excuse.
I think that's part of it. I agree with you a little, to an extent.
They never had the patented Warriors either, the big run, the 13-2 run, and oh, look at that. They're up by 4. How'd that happen?
But Toronto's defense strength, it's underrated, I think.
Yeah.
Now, maybe not anymore because people are starting to realize, but they clamped down on you. Look what they did to the Bucks for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is 5 in a row now for the Raptors. And are you a believer, though? Does this change your idea?
Well, no. And in Vegas, I mean, Golden State's still favored to win the series, for crying out loud.
What's that price now?
$1.50, minus -150. Yeah, if you take the Raptors, you get $1.30.
I will jump and add a little bit more to the Warriors that I already have.
Which means if you you want to bet, you want to make $100 on Golden State, you have to put down $150. And if you want to bet the Raptors, you put down $100, you'll win $130 as we try and educate you as it gets ever so closer to full-blown sports wagering here in our lovely state of Iowa. Boy, they're messing it up over in Illinois. I'm not sure you've been following it.
No, I haven't.
It's you see a lot of commercials, actually, during Cubs broadcast, during White Sox broadcast. FanDuel and DraftKings, they're getting shut out.
Oh, really?
And, you know, here's the misnomer about that over here, too, to an extent. FanDuel and DraftKings are going to be in the state.
You'll be able to do daily fantasy wagers.
Yes, but you can't bet on sports unless they partner with a casino.
Mm-hmm.
So if they do, I mean, they'll air quote locals here, which of course Prairie is. Jefferson's not that far away. Those would be the two, I would think. What's the one up the road? Is it Terrible's? It used to be Lakeside.
Oh, down south in Osceola?
Yeah, I'm sure that they'll have it. So maybe for the folks in West Des Moines, I'm not sure what that drive would be.
It's about
30 minutes, 35, 40. I'm not sure if they have a partner yet. But my point being is, DraftKings and FanDuel are going to be in the state, but you're not going to be able to bet sports. You can bet fantasy sports, but you can't bet sports.
You put your $500 in your account for FanDuel, but you're not going to also be able to.
Yeah, you can't bet the Raptors and Golden State. You can't. You can take the bet, point and a half.
You can bet, though, the props that they have on there, build your lineup for the NBA Finals, those kind of things. And if you had Pascal Siakam, you probably took home the money in that one last night. But You won't be able to bet on the individual game unless they got to be making calls, though.
Sure everybody is. But here's the thing, Trent. Say they partner with a casino in Sioux City.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody from Des Moines going to drive out to Sioux City to sign up for the app? If you have family over there, that's one thing.
I'll probably make some drives this summer. I think so.
To shop around.
Yeah.
You're that sick.
I have problems.
Yeah, well, I know that.
We know this.
Maybe I'm wrong. I'm anxious to see how fantasy does here. You and I differ.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that it's going to... I don't think it's going to be the bonanza that some think it's going to be. I'm just not sure you're going to play fantasy sports when you can wager on individual games.
I think people do both. They not only will they do both, but there are certain people that just love fantasy sports so much that that's going to do. There's going to be plenty of people, I think, out there that are happy just doing the fantasy mm-hmm. sports and not wanting to bet on the individual games. I don't think it's a huge population, but
yeah, I don't know.
A percentage certainly is there that is just going to do that. You know how big fantasy football is.
No, I do, but I do. I know how big it is because that's all they had. I mean, not in this day you couldn't bet on it legally, but you could, you know, play your office fantasy. But now that you can actually wager legally on sports, I just wonder what it's going to do to the fantasy business. I think it's that the air. If I had shares, I'd be selling my fantasy shares.
Really?
I think I would. I'd be buying shares in, you know, the companies that can offer individual games. Anyways, we'll get into that. What a crazy night it's going to be in downtown St. Louis tomorrow night.
Oh, yes.
Not only Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, but Cubs-Cards at the same time in the same, within what? Quarter of a mile?
Yeah.
It's nationwide right now?
Yes.
Nationwide and, of course, Busch are... Boy, it seems like it's a 10-minute walk at most.
All right, yeah.
Because I stay not in the Hilton that's attached to Busch, but the one across the street from Ruth Chris Steakhouse, which is kind of a little bit off the beaten path. That's where I stay when I'm in St. Louis. And when I walk to what was Scott Trade, it was a 10-minute, maybe 15-minute at most walk. Downtown St. Louis is going to be just a nut house tomorrow.
I don't know with television contracts what could be done.
I think of the same thing, but Fox has it at 6:15, the baseball game tomorrow night. Wouldn't you want, if you're MLB, wouldn't you want to, you move your game to a day game?
Yes.
I don't think you can because of television. It's Fox's game of the week, Trent, so the answer is no.
Can't do it.
I don't think you can.
Just some flexibility.
Right.
Here.
The thought crossed my mind as well. I mean, is there any way they can? Because, good God, what a double dip that would be, right?
Right.
If you're so inclined and fortunate enough to have tickets to both Cubs cards in the afternoon and get down to game three for the, you know, your team's tied one apiece in the Stanley Cup.
Well, and it's regional coverage on Big Fox tomorrow night for baseball.
Oh, it's regional. It's not national.
So
okay.
It's either Cubs cards or Yankees Red Sox. Just say, let's give the nation Yankees Red Sox this one.
Yeah, we got that Sunday night too. Not that matters.
You're right. And move it up. I mean, mm-hmm. Move it to a 3 o'clock game, even a 1 o'clock game, whatever it may be. I think that would make a whole lot more sense.
You're preaching to the choir, my
friend. Doing that. And for Blues and Cardinals fans, I would love to see the TV numbers. And I don't know, is St. Louis, I think they're a metered market, right?
Oh, I think they would be big enough to be that.
That,
yeah.
That has their individual.
By the way, you mentioned the ratings. We'll get into that in a second. They got killed last night.
The NBA did?
Yeah.
Not a surprise by any means with the Canadian team. But I wonder, percentage-wise, what the Blues versus the Cardinals for game one of 162 as opposed to the first Stanley Cup Finals game.
But I think there's going to be, 1970.
Almost 40 years, yeah.
1970. I think there's going to be a ton of Cubs fans that make their way over.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Down I-55. Easier ticket than you normally used to.
Mm-hmm. Probably
ticket,
so.
Get in for cheaper. And
well, especially if, that's a good point. If the games are right on top of each other, and they're going to be, I don't think that they can move out of that. And I think if they even would have been considering that, we would have known by now. I mean, it's pretty late in the game to be tinkering with that.
Yeah, this would have had to be something that came out as soon as the NHL schedule came out. With the Stanley Cup Finals and the way that was set, all right, let's move this thing. But yeah, at this point, way too late. I mean, you got people coming in, people making plans how they're going to get there from outside the area. You can't do it. What are we, 30 hours away, whatever it may be. You can't make a change like that.
No, not at this late. By the way, both of those contests in the Gateway City will be a part of our Klaxons giveaway that's coming up at 11:45 here this morning. We're going to do... Well, we'll do game two of the NBA. We'll do game three of the Stanley Cup. We'll do the Cubs card series and a Tiger Woods prop as he's playing in the Memorial this weekend.
You going to get much golf in with Tiger playing?
He's hanging around. Yeah, it depends on today's round, I would think. I did see the 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, my Rocket Man show that I'm dying to see.
Yeah.
Is at that theater in Altoona, so I'm going to make my way over to the 10 o'clock showing of that one. Get home in time for some Memorial and some day baseball and settle in for game two of the NBA, which I think it's moved up an hour. I believe it's a 7 o'clock tip. They screwed us last night, I thought. I mean, they...
That was late.
Well, yeah, especially when, I mean... I thought the game was tipping at 7:30 because the pregame coverage on ESPN was over at 7:30.
Uh-huh.
So I just assumed we'd go from the pregame there into tip game, right?
Yeah.
Well, went over to ABC, and there's another half-hour pregame show over there before we get to it. So anyways.
They got you last night.
They got me,
but
it was well
worth it. Did you
stick
with it, or did you go back to
the baseball? Of course, no.
Over to some baseball?
No. Well, I saw a little bit of your Twins.
Oh. I very quickly hit delete on that one when I got home last night. Didn't need to watch that disaster. Martin Perez.
Whoa. Yeah, who's bad?
He turned into Martin Perez again.
Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
My guy. One of my guys. Got a lot of guys. You know, we talked about this trade 2 weeks ago. Chris Archer trade.
Oh, yeah.
Austin Meadows, who's now hitting 361. Drove in, what, a handful last night? Tyler Glasnow, who's hurt, but was, what, was he 6-1, 7-1 like that?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, they took two prospects... The Rays did from the Pittsburgh Pirates in exchange for Chris Archer, who is just having an abysmal season by his standards. He's 1-5, 1-6, and has no clue right now. And here's Tampa. They got two guys that are just, I mean, trending clearly in the right direction. Meadows is going to be a star, and Glasnow, I think, you know, he's hurt, and he's a pitcher with an arm issue. So, but anyways, that one looks like a fleecing. Brian Walton is going to join us next. Cards Cubs conversation coming up. I saw a stat, it might have been Brian Walton that tweeted this yesterday. If the Cardinals lose tonight, this will go down in Cardinals history as the worst month of May on record.
What?
That's what I saw. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, and it hasn't been good, but that bad?
You'd think, yeah. I mean, you would think that there would have been worse. Now, yeah. Again, they got off to a great start.
Yes, they did.
They opened the season in Milwaukee, as we recall, and carried that over. But May has not been good to the Redbirds. Nice win yesterday to finish up the roadie before coming home and facing the Cubs. What kind of reaction is Chris Bryant going to get when he walks to the plate?
That was in my notes for one of the questions for Brian Walton coming up here. I'm going to guess... He's not going to get a standing O by any means.
No, I don't think so either. We will take a timeout. Brian Walton, I'll let you ask that one, Trent, since you had that one written down for one of your cues for Mr. Walton. Tom Cakert at 10:45. We'll do Hawks. We'll go over the football schedule again. Big 12 fan, Clone fans in particular.
You'll get it next week.
I guess, but I got a little kickoff time envy. I really do. I want to know these things.
What, so you can change your schedule?
No.
Exactly. No. You're going to be in the basement nakedy regardless of these kickoff times.
Right, true.
Nothing changes
for
you.
Well, you know that schedule, that kickoff schedule, that LSU schedule that is such a go-to?
LSUschedules.net.
LSUsomething.net, right. And they fill in those blanks. And it's just one of the check marks in on your off-season as you inch your way closer to the season. Brian Walton next. Miller and Condon, glad you're with us. We're on Des Moines Sports Station 1460.
He's replacing one of the great...
Streaming live from coast to coast on iHeartRadio. This is 1460 KXNO.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.